Hi. Thank you for joining us at UInc for a very special UInc Live at the famed Meadery Brothers Drake. My name is Rhea Greif, and I'm here with you today, as I am every week, to help build the most important brand in your life, which is you. And when we talk about building, we use tools, and the same goes for building our brand. These wellness tools will help elevate your emotional intelligence and help to lead you in a more positive, successful direction in life and in business. Some of these tools you will use to shroud yourself, and some you will utilize to build some space when needed. This week's tool is mystery. And why, despite the information highway all around us, many things still remain a mystery to us. And we will join in on a live recording of our show with Dawn Thompson, Modern High Priestess. And in the whole month of November and December, we will be airing UInc live specials from all around the country that we have done in the past year, and some favorites from the year before. We will speak with Milo Runkle, founder of Mercy for Animals, from the deserts of Nevada, on stage at Hair of the Dog in Black Rock City at Burning Man. We will speak with veteran activist and longtime advocate of civil rights, Gabor Klein, from the shade of a pavilion at the three-day festival Confest. We will revisit our time at Art Basel with real estate mogul Bill Gardner about roots and his trips to Colombia to immerse himself in language, to the RV of the Florida Swamp Yeti, where we sampled some very special gummy bears, to revisiting Arnold Schwarzenegger's good friend and Lifetime Achievement Award winner at the Arnold Sports Festival around mountains of pro-athletic muscle, Dr. Richard Goldman, and finally, taking off on a 10K, the longest race in Cbus history, with Eric Fruth, co-founder of Columbus Running, and the transformative power of a sneaker, and so much more. Now, let's join our audience at Brothers Drake Meadery and meet Dawn Thompson for our UInc special live with me, Rhea Greif, and guests. Ooh, with your woman, see how high she flies. Ooh, with your woman, she got the moon in her eyes. Our guest today's mission in life is to help others seek out the mysteries within themselves and discover the greater mysteries around them. Dawn Thompson is a modern high priestess medicine woman who helps others heal from past wounds and discover their true path after experiencing childhood trauma herself and wanting to be the facilitator of that change. She does this via her company's offerings, Dawn of the New Era. She is the founder of a new kind of monthly dance party of ecstatic dance called Shakti Shakedown, held where we are today as well for another UInc Live edition at the Brothers Drake Meadery. Ms. Thompson is the author of the Authenticity Codes online course and teachings and holds frequent shamanic workshops, including the beloved Journey into Healing Anxiety and Journey into Your Heart's Desire. She also has a podcast, The Gypsy Wagon Hour, which covers the monthly and planetary energies and themes. She has private clients across the country, but calls Columbus, Ohio her home. And when she isn't dancing, doing readings and healings, you can find Dawn being a proud mom to Shay, her young teenage daughter, or out with her very supportive partner, Michael Equanimity, cultivating rich experiences. Welcome, Ms. Thompson.
Why, thank you.
Okay, so one of the things that I read about you is that you love to travel. And did you know that Icelandic Air is having a crazy promotion right now? Like, they right now, I booked a trip, round trip to Iceland and to Paris, $400.
I do. I think I saw you posted that, and I was like, what are the dates? Let me check my calendar.
Because I think it would be great to do some type of retreat there with the Northern Lights. That would be amazing.
Yes, okay. Yes, yes.
Okay. So
we can make that happen.
Right, we can make that happen, exactly. Okay, so speaking of retreats, recently you invited me to a cacao healing ceremony, which I personally found to be profoundly helpful, even during my current personal journey through pain. The description of the event was, cacao will be imbibed, song sung, prayers orated, and medicine shared, and perhaps a little bit more of our soul's majesty will give birth to itself in simultaneous form and formlessness, a beautiful paradox. So when I read that description, as much as I enjoy it, I can't help but think that there are many people who would read that description and kind of scoff at it. Mm-hmm.
How do you handle those who see these types of things as so mysterious that they reject them?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I think that's the vision with Shakti Shakedown is that, you know, it's in a bar. It's in a place where I call them, quote unquote, normies come, you know. And so then the mystery is revealed that ecstatic dance, kirtan, you know, the artists and the people that I'm bringing in that, you know, we sometimes use woo-woo-y terms, but it's really like, it's very practical. These mysteries are very practical, you know what I mean? And they, to connect to something bigger, we're just using fancy words.
Yeah. So is that how you explain it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be nice if there was some more practical words to explain something like a cacao ceremony, you know? Yeah, to bridge that gap between that, you know, the magical mystery ceremony and someone who's never heard of something like that.
Right. And what are some of the questions that the so-called normies have kind of asked you about when they come here and they see the Shakti Shakedown? What are some of the reactions and some of the questions that you've gotten, and what have been some of those responses?
One thing that I know is before I knew where I was going, I know I had a longing. I knew that the cultural conditioning that I had was not for me. I knew I wasn't supposed to have, you know, the white picket fence and the house and the 2.5 kids. Not that that's a problem. I just knew that there was something different. And so perhaps, you know, people have this longing for something more. And even if they don't understand the words, their soul brings them to these things. You know, their curiosity, their you know, that inner child will get that itch and it needs to be scratched. And so they end up showing up to things like that, you know?
And when they say like, oh, what is this? What can I, you know, what is this about? What do you say?
I do have a hard time with that, to be honest. I'm like, modern ecstatic dance. I mean, the words, they don't do a cacao ceremony justice. They don't do a sleepover, you know, cosmic retreat justice. They don't, you know, they really don't. There really isn't quite the terminology to bridge the gap, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's good that we're doing the show then, so maybe people who are listening, some of that can be resolved for them. And maybe that's something we can all consider, those of us who do firmly believe, could start developing some of that language in order to, you know, dispel that mystery so people can feel it's more approachable to them, perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay. You describe your 12-week course, The Authenticity Code, as a guide to discovering that is inside all of us. There lives an authentic encoding that is waiting to be activated to dispel the lies that this culture attempts to sell us and that you are not enough. Why is it that finding our personal power and authentic self is such a mystery to us all? Why is it so hard to find and so many never even do? Some people just kind of sleepwalk through life. Why is that so hard?
Well, it's hard because we're conditioned from the time we're born, you know, and then the public school system really does a number on creating sheeple, you know. I mean, there's not alternative ways to learn, and they're starting to happen, but we need alternative ways of learning. We need, like I said at the beginning of Shakti Shakedowns, kids need to move their bodies, you know, and so as we're growing up, we're taught don't move, don't speak, don't feel. You know, you see a child, or as we're raising our children, they cry, don't cry. Well, that crying is their authenticity. That crying is the bridge to get them to those juices that lie inside.
So one of the reasons would be then formalized education, institutionalizing children. And in fact, the research supports that. So everyone's born highly creative. And then by the time someone turns 5, it's diminished greatly. So that is, in fact, what happens. And it's probably why we lose our way.
Yeah.
So what are some ways that you can recommend to those who are listening to the show right now? What are some ways that you can recommend for people who maybe don't want to take a 12-week course or they're afraid to? What are some immediate ways that people can start accessing that mystery about themselves, accessing their authentic self?
Take a yoga class.
That's a good one.
Starts with yoga. Yeah, because I feel like that yoga is a great bridge between the two worlds. NVC, nonviolent communication, compassionate communication, I found is the bridge. It is one of the main tools that is going to help this whole country heal. Once we find out, because we're taught that to be needy is gross, right? And to feel big is scary. And so we need to bridge the gap between these big feelings that we're having. We need containers for them. And it really does start when children, you know, with a child. I mean, you could do it as an adult with your inner child, but it's helpful to do that with a child. You know, if they're angry, let them be angry so they don't repress it, grow up, and then commit crimes. You're so angry right now.
Right.
You know, let people feel to heal. We have to feel to heal.
Because every feeling is valid, but not every behavior is. But we can certainly let them feel. So they're saying, oh, you're not mad, or that's not a big deal. We need to validate those emotions. That's one way to do it. Okay. So about authentic self, as I had mentioned, and what it means to us as a tool for You Inc. is the lack of any mystery anymore about a person. Every moment, meal, check-in, even deeply personal events like breaking up and death are readily shared on so-called social media platforms. And often it is also the highlight reel, right, that we get, and then eliminates the mystery about us all, and also removes us from our authentic self. In your coursework, what are your teachings on this matter?
Well, I believe those are all masks. I really do. I mean, I use social media to connect and to, you know, for business. But when you're using it personally, you're only seeing one side of someone. Again, we talked about eye contact. Maybe a practice today would be making deep eye contact with someone you've never met. And you don't get that on social media. So you get to, you know, I also believe that everyone deeply is wanting to be heard. And so let's bridge that in with the cultural conditioning. If you don't have the language to even say, I need to be heard on this, then you're just throwing out the cultural conditioning on social media. And it really is painful. It really is. So in the course, we go through the shadow. So we go through the shadow, like what's living in you that you're pushing down? Because I believe that's the first step to getting to your authenticity, is to deal with the ick, we call it the shadow work, you know, in the medicine world, the shadow work. So you have to go, which is, again, is a woo-woo-y term. Everyone knows the SH word.
What do you recommend that they do is they get to go through their real emotions, instead like kind of abstain from social media, and then work through themselves and those feelings and those pent-up feelings before they can go back to it? Is that basically what we're talking about?
Well, also finding someone who's done it before, because it's really hard to do something that you don't know about. So finding a somatic, again, the yoga is really good to start somatically feeling your body, to start breathing. In this culture, we're retracting our breath, we're playing it small. We can be big on social media, but then when we're around people, we need to expand our breath. So I really like somatic practitioners, shamans. There's, you know, been several shamans here tonight. I mean, even regular therapy, body work is really good. Someone who can hold space while your body unravels its story, its sensation. And it's really important to find your tribe, you know, and you're going to attract what you're emitting. So, you know, this time period, you might be changing your tribe. You know, people may be leaving and new people coming in if you're on this path of authenticity.
Right. And I had read about that once. It's like we complain about the people we have in our lives, but when we first meet someone and we start relating with them, if we allow them to cross those lines, then we're allowing those types of behavior. So we are welcoming that in our lives. And also, having a Clint worked on me when I was at Rootwire, and I know it was intense, and you're right, you do need people like that to help guide you through these experiences to, you know, get you started on that path. Absolutely. Okay, so you also hold a popular and excitingly new kind of monthly dance party called the Shakti Shakedown, which is described by you in an article in the Columbus Alive. And you describe it this way, and I quote, attendees can expect anything from card readings to a full moon ritual to a drum circle. Then people hit the dance floor to a soundtrack of spiritual yoga music, followed by trap, which has drum and bass lines that encourage a trance-like state. The type of dancing ranges from free-flowing movement to upside down wall twerking. Okay, first of all, what is upside down wall twerking? What is that?
Stick around, you'll see. The station's actually over there.
Oh, really?
It's very, very empowering, actually. Here we're talking about the bridge again. People are like, oh, trance dance, you know, there's no alcohol. Well, mead is actually the original trance dance drink. So, you know, and then, you know, moving your body in sexual primal ways helps you get into that trance-like state, you know, but it's not required. You can also belly dance or just softly move your body. But yeah, upside down wall twerking, you do a handstand facing the wall, kick up your feet, and you twerk that booty.
I might just stick around for that.
Stick around.
And what about, like, as you mentioned, people who are like trance-like state, those words are too mysterious to them. They don't know what to do with it. How can one replicate this maybe at home if they don't feel comfortable doing this in public? What's something listeners can try at home to maybe get their talents and feel good about self-confidence before they come out? What are some suggestions that you have for that?
Well, it is easier with other people, but also it's nice to have choices. So, and I do it at home, you know. It's finding something with a rhythm, a specific sound. I don't know if any of you have heard of sound healing or sound therapy, but a certain rhythm, and it helps to have a more primal beat, something that gets you out of your mind and into your body. And then you basically are moving without trying to think or contemplate what the next move is. You go with sensation, you go with what feels good. And if you're following the juicy, if you're following what feels good, then you leave your minds and you start to just move. And you'll pop back in your body and be like, oh, that move was a little funky. I'm glad I'm not a shock to shake down looking weird. Oh, but that feels so good right there.
Okay, so basically follow your booty. Not even your heart, just follow the booty. Okay.
This isn't heart work.
Okay, you also have a podcast called The Gypsy Hour, and part of the intro description is unveil the mystery behind the curtain. And you also say that you are part Hungarian Gypsy. What is it about the Rome culture, in your opinion, that gives them that edge or gift or belief in the supernatural mysteries around us?
Well, I speak to spirits. I'm a medium. And so one night I was at my Sangha meditation where I meditate for 2 hours once a week, just meditate. And so I go to deep, deep places. And all four of my grandparents came. And I already knew that my great-grandmother was Hungarian Gypsy, and we had a lot of Hungarian in the family. And my grandfather from Hungary came to me in spirit during the meditation. He said, "You get these gifts from me. I'm so sorry. I know they're so hard, and I couldn't take it." So that's when I knew that's the lineage, you know, that it came from. I recently found out I'm also Viking as well, and they definitely, if you've seen the show Vikings, work with magic and mystery and spirit as well.
So is it that activation of that code that you were kind of referring to, that lineage has that and that's what they're passing down?
Yeah, I think that you get a lot of your gifts. You have some of your own autonomous stuff. You come in with your own stuff, but we choose our parents to get the genetic codes that we need to do the mission that we're here to complete.
I see. So it was a choice to choose that lineage where that gift came from.
Yes, your soul chooses before you come into the flesh. It chooses the parents you need to give you the DNA and the conditions to do what you want to do.
Gotcha. Okay, so speaking of, for those like myself who sometimes doubt these things, right? It's like, really? You choose your parents? Like, really? Like, you know, like people who have that kind of sentiment, you know, like tarot cards and astrology and birth numbers and so forth. How can they remove the mystery about the power of healing circles, Shakti dancing, and events like these so that they can drive that personal growth and perhaps get some of those intense experiences?
I make that my life's mission, to be honest. I don't need to host Shakti Shakedown for a bunch of, as much as I love them, yoginis and like, you know, people who already know about this stuff. I don't know how. That's what Shakti's about, is like bringing it in smack dab in the middle of the city by personally calling out to people that I've made contact with, you know, like with you, and just saying, "You're in my mind. Do you want to come to a cacao ceremony?" And then when people ask us, you have to listen to your heart. You have to listen to the pull. Do you feel pulled there? Because they're really... You know, there isn't a lot bridging the two as of yet, but I do make that my life's mission. I do want to reach the suffering that I see, you know, on the street corner. Those are the people I want to reach. Mm-hmm. When I go in the grocery store and I see someone is obviously suffering, mm-hmm. I want to help her.
Right, yeah. Right. And, you know, I read this book kind of every so often. I pick it up, put it down, called Competing Against Luck. And all, like, the major people who have, like, created... You know, enterprises that it's a part of our everyday lives, you know, Amazon, Apple, so on and so forth. It was, they saw that there was something missing and they wanted to create that. And that's why they filled that need. So there is that need that you're filling. And that was the reason why I was doing this show. So it's great that you go out of your way in your life to provide that for people. And I know that not just your yoginis, I'm sure everyone appreciates it for sure. Okay, so you have a very supportive partner. I'm surprised he's not here today, actually.
He's cleaning the house.
Okay, because I was, and the other thing too, I was afraid she would say, oh, we broke up, like, ah. Okay, so you have a very supportive partner, and he comes and he helps out with the events, he helps promote all of your business ventures. Help those of us who don't have a partner like that solve the mystery of either finding one that is, transforming the one that is with us into being that, or is it just that some partners don't do that and that's okay?
All three.
Yeah.
It's definitely all three. I mean, let's go back to the nonviolent or compassionate communication. You can look that up, Marshall Rosenberg. That, I wouldn't still be with my partner if we wouldn't have taken a couple weeks of that training, because I think the biggest thing is the disconnect between languaging. You know, I can assume what my partner needs in a day, but I cannot, unless I literally ask him and he can say, oh, I have a need for peace and rest today. Mm. Well, I have a need for support around this. And so we speak this new paradigm era language that allows us to be supportive, because we're not naturally super, you know, we're not alike. We're definitely opposite. And you know my partner, he doesn't speak.
Right.
He does not speak. So in order to have a successful relationship, you know, we needed to come up with a new type of communication.
And what was the name of that course that you were telling me? What was it?
It's called Nonviolent or Compassionate Communication. Marshall Rosenberg is the founder of that.
Okay. And speaking of, since we're on the topic of websites and URLs, can you tell us where people can find out more information about Dawn of the New Era and some upcoming events that you're doing?
Sure. Dawn of the New Era on Facebook and Instagram, and then dawn-thompson.com.
Okay. Is it healthy for a relationship to build in some mystery about ourselves, like we mentioned about that oversharing? Because I almost feel like a lot of relationships have been led into some type of codependent type of arrangement where we need to have our partner's approval on everything, or else we are unhappy or we think they don't care.
Yes, I talk about this with my partner a lot. I go, we need to like talk about what we ate for lunch and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, we really don't. And it has made our relationship really juicy, really passionate, really lovely, that I have no idea what he's doing at work all day. And he has no idea what's going on at Shakti Fest right now. I definitely, and it's not comfortable to be in a non-codependent relationship, because we are, as a culture, we're taught that that is our entire tribe.
Yes.
And it cannot be. Men traditionally are not set up to be our emotional counterpart. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible, but it's really not the formulation, you know, the human compatibility. I mean, they're there to be partners.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So finally, you have a motto. I'll try anything once. Okay. And I do the same. I have the same one.
Yes.
What is something that is still a mystery to Dawn Thompson of the new era?
Whew. Honestly, I think it's where I'm going to go with my sexuality. I honestly have this dragon that lies in my womb, and she is like, she is just thirsty for life, and she's thirsty for different experiences. And I think that, you know, I had a couple speakers earlier on Tantra and compassion, you know, and sexuality and women's empowerment, because I feel like that's a really juicy, alive path for me right now with new opportunities coming in there. Tantra being one of them.
Super interesting. Okay, well, thank you for no longer being a mystery to us at New Ink. Thank you, Dawn Thompson, for having us today.
Thank you.
A word from our person on the street. So, Marissa, what are your thoughts on mystery?
I think mystery is definitely important in terms of relationship, because if you get into like a monotonous routine and you're not able to keep things fresh and new, mystery kind of sounds like something scary or like a horror movie, but I think it's good to have a little bit unknown. Otherwise, there's kind of no fun left in that relationship.
And so you're fairly young, so you figured this out early, which is great. So what are some ways that you do that?
I think like the easiest way is to just try new things, whether that be like taking an adventure to Cedar Point or like going on a hike where you're not normally athletic with each other, and just constantly opening up to each other and having like open conversations is important.
And what's the last thing that you did?
The last thing I did for Mystery Non-Trans or Relationship was when I interned in London. I got to travel to Paris and Barcelona and Amsterdam, and all these places were new to me, and I met all new people on these experiences. So opened me up to a whole nother world.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and good for you that you traveled. I wish I would have been with you.
Thank you.
And that's our show for today, folks. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Rhea Greif, and you've been listening to U Inc. on 90.5 WCBE.